Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Xi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministers have vowed to press forward with a military campaign into Rafah. The Biden administration has announced it will send $300 million of military aid to Ukraine. And China has officially started trialing visa-free entry for citizens of 6 additional European countries. We begin with the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministers have vowed to press forward with their military campaign into Rafah. Israel has been urged not to enter the city in southern Gaza, where over 1 million people are seeking shelter. Alex Kadi has more from Jerusalem.
Benjamin Netanyahu is doubling down on what he's been saying for the last few days. He had previously said that it's important that Hamas knows that we will go there, we will go into Rafah. He had also previously said that no amount of international pressure would make Israel not go into Rafah, and that has been the case again. He's repeated that despite President Biden saying that that would have been a red line for the United States. So certainly putting Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, on a direct collision course with his biggest ally in the United States. And at a conference at APAC, Benjamin Netanyahu reiterated that point. And we've had another indication from Israeli officials that that Rafah operation could be imminent by the defense minister, Yoav Gallant, speaking to army officers in Gaza City. To those who think we are delaying the operation in Rafah, they will soon see that there is no place we cannot reach. And adding that there is no safe space, not here, not outside Gaza, not across the entire Middle East, for those who were involved in the October 7th atrocity. So certainly the message from the Prime Minister, from his ministers as well, is that the Rafah operation will almost certainly go ahead.
That's Alex Cadier. Israeli strikes across Gaza have continued for the third day of Ramadan. Displaced locals are still hoping for more humanitarian aid to enter the strip through the Rafah border. Noor Harazin reports from Rafah.
Israeli army continued attacking the coastal enclave from its north to its south. We are talking about hundreds of attacks between airstrikes and tanks, shelling. In one airstrike in Al Buraj refugee camp, 8 people were killed, and this happened only in the past 12 hours. Also here in Rafah, there was a series of Israeli strikes, and one strike that targeted a car in Msabbeh area. 2 Palestinians were killed. What the Gaza Strip actually needs and what the people of the Gaza Strip needs to stop this famine here in the coastal enclave is an immediate ceasefire. This war should stop. More aid should be allowed into the Gaza Strip through the Rafah border because it is the fastest and the safest way to allow aid into the Gaza Strip. This is what the people really need. Talking about the other ways of dropping or allowing aid into the Gaza Strip, I mean, when talking about the aerial drop, it is very little packages being dropped on the people, and also it is very dangerous. Talking about the maritime passage, I mean, this will take some time. And of course, the aid might not be enough for all of the 500,000 people who are besieged now in northern Gaza. Will really help the situation here in Gaza is an end to this war, and also for Egypt to fully open the Rafah border to allow more humanitarian aid in.
That's Noor Harazin in Rafah. Turning to North America, nonprofit organization Gun Violence Archive says at least 70 mass shootings have occurred in 23 U.S. states so far this year. Though there have been growing concerns over gun-related deaths, Americans remain deeply divided on the issue of gun control. And the issue is expected to remain a hot topic in the run-up for this year's general elections. It is Tian Shan has more from Los Angeles.
Thousands of people in the U.S. are killed in mass shootings every year. The majority of the incidents involve assault weapons, including the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history during a music festival in Las Vegas in 2017, when a gunman fired over 1,000 rounds into a crowd, killing dozens and wounding hundreds. The assailant had used a bump stock, a gun accessory that allows semi-automatic weapons to fire rapidly like a machine gun. A federal ban on their use is being challenged at the Supreme Court, where judges appear deeply divided in their arguments over the protection of Second Amendment rights.
It is a very old statute, and it was designed for an obvious problem in the 1930s.
But it functions in precisely the same way. And a torrent of bullets comes out.
I guess this is functioning like a machine gun would. But, you know, looking at that definition, I think the question is, why didn't Congress pass that litigation?
Republicans have been reluctant to pass any gun safety bills following the enactment of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act in 2022. While it helped expand some red flag laws, improve security at schools, and raise funds for mental health and crisis prevention programs, critics say it's not doing enough.
There's no other issue where you have 85% of Americans supporting an issue and Congress doesn't take action. 85% of Americans support universal background checks.
In the absence of federal gun legislation, 14 states and Washington, D.C. have their own legislations banning large capacity magazines, but they're facing court challenges. Legislations in both California and New York aiming to limit concealed handguns in public have been struck down by courts. And the U.S. president has publicly expressed his disappointment.
How much more carnage are we willing to accept? How many more innocent American lives must be taken before we say enough, enough?
Republicans, on the other hand, actively pursue new laws that protect gun ownership, with more than half the states now allowing concealed handguns without a permit. And former President Donald Trump frequently claims to be the most pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment president in his re-election campaigns.
Perhaps worst of all, even as they turn America into a crime-ridden, gang-infested, terror-filled dumping ground, Joe Biden and his thugs will do everything in their power to confiscate your guns and annihilate your God-given right to self-defense. You have a right to self-defense. You've always had that right.
The outcome of both local and general elections this year could have far-reaching implications for the future of gun legislation and public safety in the United States.
That was Edith Tianshan on the issue of gun control in this year's general elections in the United States. To the Russia-Ukraine conflict, the Biden administration has announced it will send $300 million of military aid to Ukraine. This comes as a $60 billion funding bill remains stuck in Congress. Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned the U.S. not to send troops to assist Ukraine. He also says his country is technically ready for a nuclear war. It comes following an attack on Russian soil by pro-Ukrainian militias and a series of drone attacks on Russian oil facilities. Megumi Lim has more.
Rockets, ammunition and anti-aircraft rounds are among the $300 million worth of military aid being sent to Ukraine by the United States. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the package was funded by unanticipated cost savings from Pentagon contracts, but warned that although the latest assistance will help address some of Ukraine's pressing needs, it does not replace the $60 billion funding bill that remains stuck in Congress.
This ammunition will keep Ukraine's guns firing for a period, but only a short period. It is nowhere near enough to meet Ukraine's battlefield needs, and it will not prevent Ukraine from running out of ammunition in the weeks to come. This package does not displace and should not delay the critical need to pass the bipartisan national security bill.
On Wednesday, in an interview with Russian news agency RIA, Vladimir Putin said he believed the cross-border incursions into Russia carried out by Ukraine-based paramilitary groups on Tuesday were meant to disrupt the presidential elections starting on Friday. The Freedom of Russia Legion, the Russian Volunteer Corps, and the Siberian Battalion, reportedly made up of Russian citizens fighting on the Ukrainian side, have claimed their cross-border operations are still ongoing. Videos posted on their Telegram channels allegedly showed fighting taking place on Russian territory. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, Russian drone and bomb attacks killed at least three people overnight, according to local officials. In Sumy, a Russian drone hit an apartment block, wounding at least eight people and killing two. And a Russian bomb was dropped in Mirnograd in the Donetsk region, killing two and injuring five people. Over in Russia, the defense ministry claimed 65 Ukrainian drones were shot down overnight and in the early hours of Wednesday, allegedly targeting more oil refineries for the second day in a row. The Novoshakhtinsk oil refinery in the Rostov region was shut down after a drone attack, according to the regional governor.
That was Megumi Ling reporting. In China, the Angolan president is on a four-day state visit to China. João Lourenço touched down in Beijing on Thursday morning. The Central African country earlier voiced willingness to continue close communication and cooperation with China and promote the building of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. China says relations with Angola are an example for South-South cooperation. Huang Yue reports.
Angolan President João Lourenço has landed here at Beijing Capital International Airport, marking the start of his state visit to China, which runs from March the 14th to the 17th. According to the information earlier released by the Chinese Foreign Ministry, during the visit, Chinese President Xi Jinping will hold a welcome ceremony and a banquet for President Lourenço, and the two heads of state will jointly attend a signing ceremony of cooperation documents. Chinese Premier Li Qiang and Zhao Leji, chairman of China's National People's Congress Standing Committee, will also meet with President Lourenço respectively. Additionally, President Lourenço will pay a visit to East China's Shandong province. And according to the Angolan side, in Shandong, he will stay in contact with those responsible for the productive sectors in textile, pharmaceutical and agricultural industries. In an earlier press conference, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said that last year, China and Angola celebrated the 40th anniversary of their diplomatic ties, and China expects that this trip will inject new impetus to the all-round in-depth development of their bilateral relations and push for new progress in their friendly cooperation. China has participated widely in Angola's infrastructure development, including roads, railways, schools, hospitals, and housing units. And the recently inaugurated Luanda International Airport was also built by Chinese companies. Chinese programs have also facilitated the training for Angolan doctors, agricultural professionals, and also security personnel. Analysts say that this visit will provide chance for the two sides to evaluate the existing agreements and plan new areas for cooperation and investment, especially for the private sector.
That was Huang Yue following the Angolan president on his tour of China. China has officially started trialing visa-free entry for citizens of six additional European countries. There are Switzerland, Ireland, Hungary, Austria, Belgium and Luxembourg. The policy comes into effect on Thursday and will last until November the 30th. François de Despard from Belgium is among the first visitors to benefit from the new rule.
So I'm from Brussels in Belgium, here in Shenzhen and Guangzhou for 10 days for business. And I think visa-free policy is very convenient for travellers from Europe and Belgium especially.
Under the new measures, he and his fellow European travellers can stay in China for up to 15 days visa-free. Immigration official Ma Xiaoyu at Shenzhen International Airport has hailed the convenience of the new regulation.
Visa-free countries continue to expand, facilitating further the exchange of people between China and other countries. Our Shenzhen International Airport Exit Entry Frontier Inspection Station will continuously optimize the processes and minimize waiting time for inspection as much as possible.
Now for more, Giles Gibson visits an airport in Brussels and speaks with the travellers who are keen to make the most of the new policy.
We've all done it. You're heading to the airport and you tap your pocket more than once, just making sure you've got your passport. For Belgian citizens heading to China, there's now one less thing to worry about. They can visit the country for up to 15 days without needing a visa. Passengers flying out of Brussels on a grey, overcast day told us that organising a holiday should be as easy as possible.
Sometimes, yeah, if it's too complicated, I'd say, okay, I'll go somewhere else.
We use many Chinese products now, so I think it's only positive news. We can travel more easy to those countries also. It's normal in those days that traveling goes more easy, so, okay, it's logic to me.
If it's about tourism, then yes, the easier the better, I would guess.
Since late 2023, China has lifted visa requirements for citizens from more than 10 countries in Europe, including France, Germany and Spain.
The last few years have been a tricky time for the travel industry and travellers themselves, with coronavirus testing, quarantines and airlines cancelling many routes. But over the course of 2023, many carriers re-established direct flights between European cities and China.
And now that China has lifted visa requirements for citizens from more EU states, there are calls for the move to be reciprocated. When asked whether China's move will be reciprocated by EU authorities, a spokesperson from the European Commission said last week that they couldn't, quote, speculate on hypothetical scenarios. They added that the EU still sees China as a partner for cooperation, an economic competitor. For now, Chinese citizens are still required to apply for a visa to travel to the Schengen area, which includes almost all of the EU states. In the other direction, the numbers of tourists travelling to China have rebounded since coronavirus restrictions ended, but are still far below 2019 levels. The tourism sector will be hoping that taking visa requirements off millions of European citizens will lead to more tourists touching down in China.
That was Giles Gibson in Brussels. Finally, to Africa, gunmen in Nigeria have abducted dozens of people from a village in Kaduna State. The incident came days after the kidnapping of over 200 students from a local school. The gunmen demanded about $620,000 in ransom for the release of the school hostages. A series of large-scale abductions is challenging the Nigerian government, which aims to tackle social insecurity and manage a cost-of-living crisis. Tessa Makenda has more from Jules.
Police authorities have come to the state and deployed more personnel to the area. Now, this is coming after another attack occurred at a school in Kuriga, all in Kaduna State. Now, Kaduna has been in the news after we had other abductions in Sokoto and other places in the country, especially in the northern region. It's really sad. Locals in the area say the armed men came and started shooting sporadically, after which they went house to house to carry out the abductions. And quoting one of them, one of the councillors in the area, as he said, the situation would have actually been worse but for military personnel who were on patrol and came to the locality to avert or engage the gunmen in a shootout session. And so it's a really sad situation, really. Well, indeed, the locals or people across, not just in Kaduna State, in Sokoto, here in Plateau State, in Jos, and across, of course, mostly in the northern region where we've had these attacks, there are calls for more deployment of personnel to check and ensure that these attacks, before they happen, are actually averted. The police, the Inspector General of Police, talking about Egbetokun, was in Kaduna State to interact with the governor and, of course, give him more assurance that more boots are on the ground. They've deployed more personnel to the state to ensure that, or to avert further attacks in communities. He has also assured that there's a manhunt on those who actually kidnapped students at the Kuriga school. And so these are the efforts underway at the moment. Of course, at the national level, talking about the president and the governors, there are meetings underway to establish state police to beef up with the number of security personnel we have in the country at the moment to forestall attacks in the country.
That was Tessa Makenda reporting. Recapping today's headlines, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministers vow to press forward with their military campaign into Rafah. The Biden administration has announced it will send $300 million of military aid to Ukraine. And China has officially started trialing visa-free entry for citizens of six additional European countries. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Qi Zhi. Thank you for listening.